We've spent this Easter season with the followers of Jesus, learning to recognize the risen Christ in many places and many ways. Today marks the end of Jesus being with his disciples physically. Last Thursday was Ascension Day, 40 days after the resurrection, when Jesus returned to heaven. Like many churches, we mark that day on the Sunday following it. And in our passage today, Jesus and the disciples are near Bethany, a village that's about 2 miles east of Jerusalem on the lower slopes of the Mount of Olives. That's important because the Mount of Olives was the place God was expected to appear on the day of the Lord as king over all the earth, according to the prophet Zechariah. This place was also special to Jesus. It was where his friends, Mary and Martha, and their brother Lazarus, the one Jesus brought back to life, it was their home. In the procession into Jerusalem just a couple months ago, the one that we celebrate on Palm Sunday, Jesus and his followers approached from Bethany. And on the other side of the mount was the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus prayed on the night he was arrested. It was a place of many memories, so it's no surprise that it is the place Jesus gathered his closest friends to say goodbye. Jesus told them the time had come for him to go. He told them that they were to be witnesses to his teachings, life, death, and resurrection, not only in Jerusalem, but throughout the world. He promised them that they would receive power to help them with that task. And then he left them, carried up into heaven, gone again, just like that. The disciples are left just staring up into the sky. And we can't really blame them, can we? In just 40 days, they had seen Jesus be arrested, tried, crucified, buried, resurrected, and now ascended. What a roller coaster of emotions. If what we've experienced in the last couple of months has left many of us numb and unable to function in the ways we're used to, is it any wonder that all the disciples could do in that moment was to stand and gape, looking up? After all, this was the Mount of Olives, the place where the Messiah was expected to arrive and also to conquer and remain and rule. For the disciples then, on Palm Sunday, coming down from Bethany into Jerusalem, must have felt right. The long wait is over. The prophecy is fulfilled. But now, Jesus led them in the opposite direction. Now, instead of entering Jerusalem, they were leaving it. Now, instead of descending from the Mount of Olives, they climbed it. They reversed their steps. And now, instead of the Messiah arriving, the Messiah would, could this be right, withdraw and depart? The ancient story of salvation is turned on its head. But this disconcerting reversal only makes Jesus' message more clear. He is passing the mantle. It's as if he says, "You have heard it said, wait for a Messiah who will deliver you from trouble. But I say to you, take up my mantle, for you too have a role to play in God's story of redemption. You will take the baton. You will now descend from the Mount of Olives and enter the holy city, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. You shall proclaim the good news with your words and especially with your lives. You, all of you, I hereby commission you and bless you and send you into the world for the love of the world." Thankfully, God, as God so often does, nudged them in the right direction with angels who asked, "Why do you stand here looking up?" In other words, get on with it. Jesus will return in due course, but that's not your concern. Your mission is to receive the Spirit and go into the world proclaiming the good news that the kingdom of God is at hand. On Ascension Day, we are reminded that as followers of Jesus, we're not called to cling to what we had or to rush haphazardly toward the latest trend, but to patiently wait for the new thing God is doing and then follow the Spirit's leading. It is right and good to think of the past when it reminds us of all that God has done for us. The problem comes if we cling to it, always looking backwards, or in the case of the disciples, looking up. When Jesus promised the disciples the Holy Spirit would be coming to them, they jumped to a conclusion and asked, "Lord, are you going to restore the kingdom of Israel now?" They couldn't see the greater work that God had planned because they wanted what had been. Like them, we have a tendency to remember the past so fondly that we forget some of the more negative things. Too often, we want what was rather than seeing what God is doing currently. The opposite danger is that we jump too quickly toward every new thing without waiting for the Spirit. In the verses that follow our scripture reading today, we see that the disciples did follow Jesus' instructions. They returned to Jerusalem, they gathered in a room, and they waited. And while they waited, Scripture tells us they were united in their devotion to prayer. Waiting is hard, but being faithful in the midst of uncertainty is easier with others, especially if we're united in prayer. We can remind each other that although Jesus isn't physically present with us, the promise of the Holy Spirit means God is not absent and removed from us. Through his ascension, Jesus is now set free to be Lord of all, no longer bound to a particular place or time, but with us always, able to reach even to the ends of the earth. When we faithfully wait on God, God is always faithful to guide us. Next week, we will celebrate Pentecost, when the promise of the coming of the Holy Spirit was fulfilled, when the church was born. The first disciples had to wait in Jerusalem with blind faith. We have the gift of knowing that the promise of the Holy Spirit was fulfilled. And because of this, we have the responsibility to carry out the rest of Jesus' prophecy. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. These words are preceded by Jesus telling the disciples that they didn't need to know the times or seasons that God has set for the restoration of the kingdom. Instead, they just needed to wait on the Holy Spirit's guidance and then get to work, sharing the gospel in their community and around the world. These lessons from the mountain are timely ones for us as a world in the midst of a pandemic and as a church in the midst of transition. We too need to honor the goodness of the past while being willing to let go, to wait on the direction of the Holy Spirit to guide our next steps, and then to fulfill our mission of sharing the good news of Jesus with all those around us. As Teresa of Avila put it, "Christ has no body on earth but yours, no hands but yours, no feet but yours. Yours are the eyes through which the compassion of Christ is to look out on a hurting world. Yours are the feet with which he is to go about doing good. Yours are the hands with which he is to bless now." As Pentecost approaches, this is a perfect time to reflect on what it means to be church. The church is a community that not only follows Jesus in the sense of listening to him and learning from him, we are also a community who follows Jesus in the sense of succeeding him, of taking up his mantle and carrying on his life and work, all so that his joy and our joy might be complete, not just here and there, but to the ends of the earth. As the body of Christ, the Galilean, recedes into a cloud, the body of Christ, the church, prepares to be born next week at Pentecost. We have a golden opportunity to recommit to our mission, to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. May it be so. Amen.